Today, the silent partner makes a move. Paul Barber, sorting through the day's mail at the refectory table in the lower hall, comes across a postcard which instantly captures his attention. On one side, a color print of the San Moritz Hotel on Central Park, New York City. And on the other, a stumbling pen has addressed Mr. Pinky Murray, 264 Seacliff Drive, San Francisco, but neglected to write a message.
I'm sorry, Daniel, I do not agree. Oh, Fanny, we're home. Yes. Oh, good evening, Paul. You just getting home, too?
Hi, Dan. Hello there, Dan.
Hello. Excuse me, I'll go up and change. We had quite a day.
We'll discuss the matter after dinner.
Well, let's see if I'm at Father Barber. I'd rather do that, if you don't mind.
Daniel and I are not quite in accord on small policy matters. But we'll strike an agreement. Any mail of interest?
Here's a postcard from Cousin Consider, but he apparently forgot to write the message.
Let's see. Oh. Shaky handwriting. Drinking again.
Has anybody heard from him lately?
Not that I know of. Went to New York and disappeared into the nightclubs. Oh, Fanny, I'm home.
Charming, Henry.
Hey, yes. Paul, while Daniel was in Europe, the sale of skis increased 23 over last year, and this time, snowshoes, 8%. That would seem to indicate that I know what I'm doing. Oh, Fanny, my dear.
Hi, Mom.
Evening, Paul. Henry, what's troubling Daniel? Seems out of sorts. Did you ride home from work together?
You'll get over it. Look at this, Fanny. Your cousin has sent a postcard to Pinky and forgot to write a message.
Yes, I noticed.
Dipped his pen in old Napoleon brandy, perhaps. One guess. He's been climbing the neon signs again, worn himself to a frazzle.
Excuse me, folks, I'm going up.
Paul, you'll be here for dinner?
Oh, sure. What time?
I think he won't get home until 7, so we'll eat about 7:15.
I'll be ready. See you later.
Paul.
Huh? Yes, Dan. Oh, where are you?
I'm here in the apartment. Come on in. Have you got a minute?
Well, what's on your mind?
I'll just close the door. A kind of a delicate situation has developed at the factory. I can't get my desk back.
Oh, no. Dad, you mean?
I appreciate everything he did while I was away. He's a smart old boy. But I certainly expected him to give me back my desk.
And didn't?
No. Hung up his hat, sat down, and away we went. I spent the day in a straight chair on the far side.
Well, well.
I can't let it go on. The staff has to know who's boss.
Who is?
I thought I was. Still, at the same time, when a man's got his money in a business, you don't push him around.
Yeah. Well, he's enjoyed this a lot, Dan.
That's obvious.
I never knew a man with more leftover bounce, even at his age. The truth is, he retired too soon.
That's the point. I can't afford to antagonize the old boy. But at the same time, Paul, I have to run my own business or get out. What would you do?
Well, remember a play by J.M. Barrie called What Every Woman Knows?
Hmm? What Every Woman Knows? Oh, yeah. Fella, politics, wasn't it? Back of him is a little woman doing his heavy thinking for him. What's that got to do with this?
Well, don't move too fast, Dan, my boy. Mom usually knows what's going on. If I were you, I'd exercise a little patience for a day or two and see what happens.
Henry, where are you?
Here, Fanny. Bathroom, washing up.
Oh, you look tired. Here's a glass of tomato juice.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thanks very much.
There you are. What were you and Daniel talking about as you came out of the garage?
His whole business, policy matter. He was wrong. I'm trying to straighten him out. Oh, by George, excellent tomato juice.
Lemon in it. It adds sparkle when people are tired. Everything goes smoothly today?
Yes.
Daniel seems tired, too.
It takes a while to get back into the swing. He'll get oriented.
I was surprised you stayed all day now that he's home to run things again.
Yes. Well, I've instituted policies of my own, you know, Fanny. Daniel will have to get acquainted with my methods.
Well, I thought in the original understanding you were to be the silent partner.
How could I be the silent partner while he was away in Europe?
Oh, you couldn't, of course. But now he's back, you'll have more time at home. And that's going to mean a lot to Johnny. Johnny said today he missed you so. He told Joan you promised to take him to the aquarium and see the alligators again. And Tina wants to go too, of course.
Yes.
There's no school tomorrow, Henry. At least at Johnny's school. It's a teacher's institute or something of the sort. Oh, yes. And Mr. Ito says he can't do our gardening after next week because his son wants him to help with some big job at Fresno. So there you'll be without a gardener.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we lucky? Daniel got back just in time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, dinner's at 7:15. If I were you, I'd rest.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you moved your things out of Daniel's desk today, didn't you? Henry?
Freshly laundered towels, climbs the stairs to Paul's studio at the top of the house, where she finds her eldest son talking on the phone.
But Mr. Martin is still registered? How long since he's been in his room, do you know? Oh, Mom, I asked you to leave him on the stairs. I'll bring him out.
Oh, I know what I'm doing.
Hello? Hello? No, I'm calling from California. Is the manager there? Oh, thanks. Will you? Call collect, if you like, San Francisco. Seacliff 24580. Paul Barber. Yes, inquiring for Mr. Consider Martin. He's been there about 10 days. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you calling New York?
Yeah, I had a hunch. I called the Sam Moritz. CC still has a room there, but nobody's seen him lately.
We shouldn't have let him go off alone.
Tell me how you'd stop him.
Paul? By George, you were right. You know, I've just...
Oh, pardon me, Mother Barber. Well,
that's all right, Daniel. Come in.
Sorry, I don't want to interrupt.
Oh, I'm going back downstairs. Did you see a message from Mrs. Swan?
For me?
Yes, I put it on your dresser. She's having a dinner party tomorrow night, and one of the guests will be someone you knew in Los Angeles. I've forgotten the name.
Yeah, invitation is?
Yeah, she said please have you call her this evening.
Okay, Mother Barber, thanks.
Well, what's your hurry, Mom?
Oh, I want to see about dinner. Well, Henry, wait. I'll walk down with you.
I thought I might go up and see Paul.
Well, I think they're having a private conversation, Henry.
Oh, yes. Anyway, I'll go downstairs with you after all.
What were you going to say, Dan?
Did you mention my problem to Mother Barber?
No.
What? Well, I just had a long talk with the old gentleman. He's afraid he can't come to the factory tomorrow. Mother Barber has planned a trip to the aquarium with the great-grandchildren.
Well, is that so?
Yeah, he also said he intended to clean his stuff out of my desk today, and we got so busy it slipped his mind.
Is that a coincidence or what? There are no coincidences. Not around here. But I've been watching this operation with close attention now with... you might say a novelist's eye for over 30 years. And some of the toughest problems get solved overnight. And nobody quite knows how.
Yeah. Or do you suppose I ought to thank her?
Oh, absolutely not. Nothing happened. That's what's so successful about it.
Hmm.
All well-run households operate that way.
Daniel! Oh, Daniel!
Yes, Father Barber?
Special delivery letter from Hazel from Horrock, Scotland. Hurry, come on down. I signed for it.
Yeah, rarely a dull moment. Close the door as you go, will you? Hello.
Daniel? Looks very important.
Coming, Father Barber. Be right there.
Father Barber, in his chair beside the fireplace, watches as his son-in-law eagerly scans the letter from Hazel. The silence goes on too long to suit him.
Everything all right, Daniel?
Nothing urgent here. She does say this, however.
Wait, I'm coming. I want to hear it, too.
Yes. Sit here, family. Go on, Daniel.
Well, there's just one paragraph that might interest you. Please tell Father not to raise his hopes too high. Cliff, too, expects twin boys. But at the same time, he told me of a friend, Mrs. Mary Moody of Medford, Massachusetts, who has 34 great-grandchildren... And the first 32 were girls.
Oh, no.
Mom?
Yes, Paul?
Sorry, I won't be here for dinner. We've got a guest flight going at 7:30, and I've got to be honest. I'll call you later.
Paul, what...
I'll explain later, Dad. I haven't time now. Call you about midnight, your time, from New York. Bye.
Well.
For goodness sake.
Now, what in heaven's name is back of that?
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Morse. In Chapter 20, Book 134, Confession of a Bridegroom, Frank Barton speaking.